Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Healing Circle, which is a panel of experts and callers who come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join me and Kat Edwards every week at the same day and time. And I want to say that Sharon, who's been a valuable member of our panel, is no longer able to do the show. And we wish her well and thank her for her valuable input and her insights, heartfelt insights. So Sharon, we wish you well. And today, Kat and I have selected two topics since we don't have any callers yet. And callers are encouraged to call in before the show because in so doing, you can bring up topics for us to discuss. Tonight, we're going to talk about two things. We're going to talk about taking personal responsibility and owning up to our failures. And we're also going to talk about gratitude. So I'm going to turn it over to Kat. And Kat, by the way, is a life coach and a well-known psychic clairvoyant. And you can find her website listed on the show description for today. So if you want either of those services, know that you're in good hands if you contact her. So, Kat, what do you have to say?
Thanks, David, and welcome, everybody. Thanks for tuning in today. Well, personal responsibility is something that's very close to my heart. It's difficult for people to have as a value in their life, but it is a highly important value. And in the seven principles of spiritualism, taking personal responsibility is their fifth principle. And to me, it's the pivotal one. Without taking personal responsibility, we cannot allow our soul to grow. We stunt our soul. And it can be hard, especially if you're in a situation of denial. Maybe you're addicted to something, anything can be anything, or you're somebody who creates drama, or you're usually going along not bothering yourself or anyone else, and then you stuff up and your self-image is not in alignment with what's happened. It can be difficult to take personal responsibility and face the fact that you failed. However, failure is not, I think the school version of failure is not the real life version of failure, because failure to me is only having done it a way that doesn't work. It's not you're a bad person and you are forever condemned, you suck. It's not that at all. I think it was Newton who tried 10,000 ways to create the light bulb before he created it? Was it him? Am I looking at the right inventor? Anyway, it's one of these guys, 10,000 times trying to invent something that ended up changing the world. And instead of saying after the second or third time I'm a failure, he just said, oh, that's a way that doesn't work, I'll try another way. So when we face up to our failures, if we look at them as, oh, well, that didn't work, and we take personal responsibility and we say that didn't work and the consequences of that are, and I'm responsible for that and I'm so sorry, how can I make things better? You allow your soul to grow. Now, if you murdered somebody, well, then you've got to take personal responsibility. Huh. And you've got to apologize, and you've got to say, how can I make it better? And society will say 15 years in jail. So know, sometimes the consequences of your stuff up really do suck. They're not going to be easy. But when you take personal responsibility, it's easier to take the consequences because, you know, yeah, I deserve that and I appreciate that I have to learn. What do you think about it, David?
Well, I agree with everything you've said, and I think as far as consequences go, we can avoid those if we think of them in advance. If we're thinking of picking up a drink again, say we've been sober for a long time after having succumbed to the disease of alcoholism, we may need to consider the effect that it's going to have on us at this point in time, knowing that we were unable to control our behavior in the past and how it's hurt other people. So those are a couple of consequences that you can think of in that situation. And every situation that comes along has consequences or learning experiences, because one never stops learning, and each step of the way we always have a choice. And this is where personal responsibility can enter in. When we make a choice to move in the most effective, best direction that we can take at that point in time, we're not going to get it perfectly. We're human, and we are going to fail. And sometimes failure is a good thing because some of the best lessons come out of failure. And so if you do find yourself failing, as I have done in my past, I beat myself to a bloody pulp over it. I'd never failed in my life until I was in graduate school and had a major depression and couldn't concentrate. Ended up dropping out of school because I thought I was failing, and I did not show compassion to myself. That was my mistake. So if you get into a trap where you're blaming yourself for a failure, just recognize that it's another learning opportunity. And so, I mean, you could look at that as a consequence, I suppose. It depends on what the failure is. But I would encourage people to look at it as simply a learning opportunity. And I totally agree with Kat about taking personal responsibility each step of the way if we're going to continue to grow. Without doing that, we stagnate, or worse, we backslide into something that may have been a problem in our past. And the thing is that if you don't learn the lesson the first time, you get it again, and it oftentimes comes in a more difficult form. So it's important to try to get the lesson, learn it, and move on. What do you think, Kat?
Yeah, absolutely. The way that the energy moves is in cycles and circles. That's the way energy moves, and lessons are energy because it's thought energy, and it's where your soul is up to in that. So your soul is up to this lesson. It's like going through different grades in school. So now you're up to this lesson. Are you ready? Are you going to take control? Are you going to learn? No? Okay. Well, we'll go around again. Are you ready? Are you going to take control? Are you going to learn? No? Okay, we'll go around again. And you see people, I see people in my practice come to me. Sometimes they've been, you know, they're 50 years old. They've been in their adult life for 40 years. They're going around the same circle with the same kind of relationship. They've had 3 or 4 marriages. And it's the same relationship, different person each time. And what's going on there? They've not recognized the pattern in the type of person they're attracting. And ultimately, it's a lesson within themselves. When they stop and they start to think about what's going on for themselves, then they begin to understand the lesson and they can break the cycle. And that that is taking personal responsibility, because you're saying it's not the other person anymore. You're starting to say it's something within me. I'm attracting this kind of person. I now have to recognize that and deal with it. And look, I'm not putting down people who are in domestic violence relationships. I've been in that situation. But at some point, I have done it, and plenty of other people have done it too. You say, no more. What's going on? Why am I attracting this kind of person? What are the flags? Okay, I'm not going back to that again. And this is part of the path, you know. So spirit will give you the feather and tap you on the head with the feather to say, hey, it's time now to stop that. Then spirit will give you the brick, knock you over the head. And if you're not listening, you're still not listening, you'll get the truck. So I agree there. You get harder and harder every time. If you're not going to listen to that lesson, it will get harder and harder until you've got no choice. And that's where some people have to hit rock bottom before they wake up to themselves.
I think that's often the case, Kat. I've seen that in 12-step programs that I've been in. High-bottom addicts usually do not make it. They need to enjoy the school of hard knocks, if you will, in order to get beaten up enough that they really want to reach out for help and to take their recovery seriously. And this doesn't just apply to addictions. It applies to anything. I wanted to pick up on what you were saying about domestic violence as an example. You know, we're all survivors at some level, but the point is that we don't need to just survive. We can learn to thrive, and nobody needs to remain a victim. We may have started out that way. We may have been abused as children. We may be attracting people who will abuse us in some way, but eventually we've come to the point, or need to come to the point, where we say no more and then reach out for help. It's not a sign of weakness. It's a show of strength. And there is help available out there. Depending on where you live, just look for help in a larger city. There are shelters all over the place, and there are there's social services that can help. So I just wanted to put in a little bit about the fact that we don't need to be victims anymore.
No, and we can get addicted to victimhood too. Now, that's something that you can see in individuals, you can see it in families, and you can see it in whole cultures at times. And what is wonderful is when you see it in a culture, the people in that culture begin to really empower themselves and step up, and they start to self-actualize, and they actually start to express their culture in a more magnificent way than ever before. And that's what also happens on an individual level too. So when you take personal responsibility for your feelings, for your experiences, for the way you reacted, for the way that you felt, you empower yourself. So, for example, if you were somebody who was in a horrific war and you were a person who was a innocent victim in that war, you know, some of these terrible things that happen to people in Africa, especially, where we've had people in villages turn on each other
because I've taken sides, and people who used to be teachers of students now are the murderers of those students. How do you come out of that becoming empowered? You take responsibility for your choices and your thoughts, and you cannot stop the past because it happened. You cannot say those people didn't do that, but you can say, I acknowledge that happened, and I'm hurt and I'm wounded. However, I have a choice to be free now. And the ultimate place to be free is in your mind, no matter what's going on. If you've been incarcerated and you are innocent, you still have freedom within your mind. As a Scot, that is something that we learned as Scots a long time ago, because we were persecuted by the English for so many centuries. It didn't matter what they did to us, they couldn't take away our freedom. Why? Because it was in our mind. And that's the ultimate truth, because it's a mind game. Life is a mind game. We express it through our bodies, but ultimately it is. It all plays out in the mind. So take that and strengthen yourself in that. And as I said, you may have stuffed up. You may have even done something that caused a consequence that cannot ever be rectified. No, today my mother-in-law told me about a gentleman who accidentally ran over his baby, little one, a two-year-old. And this happens every so often. That cannot be rectified. That person has to deal with that situation forever. However, the lessons that can be learned from that, and how everybody grows, and the acceptance of it, will, even though that is so horrible to deal with, that their dealing with it is better than being in denial of it, and then turning around and having gratitude for having had the time with that young person, and the experience of that young person brings in that gratitude that will help you to move forward. And this guy most likely will need years and years of counselling. I would. But it's counselling that every day will get him stronger and more able to deal with his life and with the family around him. And that's the other thing. If you've stuffed up somehow, whether you meant to or not, it's looking in the eyes of the people that you love. That can be very hard. And those people are going to look for you to acknowledge. You know, a lot of the time, that's what people want more than anything else. They want you to acknowledge what you've done and to say sorry. And that's all that they need. By doing that, you release them from the feeling that they have, and then they can move forward. Do you agree with that, David?
I do, and you've stimulated a lot of thoughts for me. Just kind of backing up a little bit when you were talking about thoughts, taking responsibility for them, it's so important to remain present to what's going on outside you and especially within you, because every feeling is preceded by a thought. And I once heard a wise woman, actually I'm going to name her, she recently passed, her name is Ada Marie, and she'd been on my show many times, the Golden Oracle, and she talked about how every thought is a prayer. And if you can frame it as being sacred, your thoughts are sacred, and if you can focus on the spirit and let spirit direct your thoughts, then you're going to find that your feelings are more uplifting, and you'll get into a place of gratitude. I once had another guest on my show, my Friday night show, Different Strokes for Different Folks. Her name is Harriet Walden. She's a minister. And I asked her, what's the most important prayer that you can say? And she said, that's easy. Two words, thank you. Now, as I was saying to Kat before the show, I think gratitude is the most important attitude that you can have, and it stems from love, so I believe. Love is the power that drives the universe in a positive direction, and gratitude is something that will keep you on a pathway where you will not only experience joy, but ultimately freedom. And I like your use of the word acceptance, Kat. I think that it's really important for us to stay in a place of accepting that everything happens for a reason, and that we are here for a reason, and we can shape our experience through our attitudes and our thoughts. And when we stay in that place of gratitude, we're going to attract positive experiences that start with positive thoughts. And thoughts, as I may have said, do precede feelings. So in essence, we can take charge of our feelings too, if we're mindful. And one other thing that you said, I don't recall what it was, Kat, but I was thinking about leading by the power of example. This is a great way to avoid the pitfalls of failure and to take personal responsibility, not just for yourself, but to serve as an example to others who may be struggling. And it's a great way to be helpful to other people. You don't need to proselytize about things. You don't need to preach. You can simply be a positive influence in the world. And you can stimulate other people through your example, through your attitudes, to come to a similar place. I mean, consider something as simple as a smile. You encounter a stranger and smile at them, and usually that elicits a smile in return. And you never know how much that might have meant to that person, because they might have been having a bad day. They might have just lost somebody that they loved. You can touch people in the smallest ways, and it doesn't take any effort on your part. So those were some of the thoughts I wanted to share, Kat, and I'm sure there'll be more that are stimulated. Is there anything else you'd like to say about gratitude or personal responsibility?
I like where you're going with leading by example. It just reminded me of something that Paramahansa Yogananda says, and that is that let your presence be the divine gift to those around you. So you, by standing in the honor of your own life's divinity and saying nothing, and being just in the space of connection, you are offering divine gratitude and the gift of divinity to those who are around you. You don't have to say a thing. It's not coming from ego, it's coming from soul. And by doing that, you also are standing in the knowledge of all the dark that's in you and all the light. Because I'm pretty sure it was a pretty hefty yogi like Yogananda who once taught me as well that angelic innocence is all the knowledge of the light and the dark within the angel, but the angel chooses to stand in the light anyway. How can the angel stand in the light? Because it knows its own divinity and it knows the connection that makes divinity possible, which is the great divine mind, all that is the great spirit of life. So I know we're bringing it back into a spiritual place, but that's who I am. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Sorry. but personal responsibility, owning your failings, and gratitude, standing in those three places does empower you. Now, I could think about, if I sat here and I really wanted to, I could think about three things that I deeply regret that I've done in the last 10 to 15 years. And I know that each one of them I've apologized for. And I don't know if I've done enough, but I've certainly said, I'm sorry. I've certainly said, this is what I did. This is what the consequences were. So I've acknowledged them to the person. I've apologized and I've said, how can I make it better? And those are the three things that you need to do if you do stuff up. I stepped on your foot and I hurt your toe. I'm sorry. How can I make it better? Oh, you could get me some Panadol. Okay, I'll do that. And I won't step on your foot again. Thank you. End of. You know, people who hold grudges, they only poison themselves. So don't be afraid if somebody's going to hate you forever because you stuffed up, but you've already apologized, acknowledged. That's how you could say make it better. If they continue to hold that feeling, they are only poisoning themselves, and therefore they need to take responsibility for that themselves. You are not responsible for someone else's happiness. And that's a hard lesson for people to chew to, because people think that they are responsible for other people's happiness, and they're not. And you just have to click on Dr. Phil and listen to him, and he'll tell you the same thing. You tune into any renowned psychologist, read any psychology book out there. I'm not speaking any woo-woo. It's real. You need to acknowledge that you are not responsible for other people's happiness. They are responsible for it. And when you get to that place where you say, I stuffed up, this is what I did, I understand the consequences, I'm sorry, how can I make it better? You are also facing up to failing. You may cry, you may want to self-flagellate, whatever you need to do is fine, but the main thing is that you have to say, this is a lesson and I've learned it and I won't do it again. And then be grateful that you had the lesson. Be grateful you had the lesson because you sold it in advance until you had that lesson. You were not a little bit stronger until you had that lesson. And I'm in my early 40s now. I look back on my life and I remember times when I was a lot softer. I was probably a lot kinder in a lot of ways, but I was a pushover and people took me as someone like a doormat that they could just push around. And so I was too soft. I was too kind. I was too caring. And when I look back on my life and I look at all the lessons that I went through and my stuff-ups, having to deal with the consequences of other people's stuff-ups and how much I've grown, I have hardened. But that's been a good thing for me. That's not been a bad thing because nobody walks all over me anymore. So sometimes, you know, you have to look back on your lessons and go, you know what, even though that hurt and that was bad and whatever, I am who I am today because of that. And I'm grateful for it. I'm absolutely grateful for it. And that, I think, is the big thing. As you said, David, having gratitude, it does stem from love. But if you don't have gratitude, you'll never find the joy in anything. Mm-hmm. Because you can't have that fullness of it. You go, oh, that's nice. But you can't go, into the deep childlike wonder that is in your heart. You can't get there without that gratitude that it's there in the first place. And I think that's really, really important. It's the first place to start. If you're on the road to any kind of recovery from anything that you've had in your life, any kind of difficulty, just sit and look at the most simple thing and be grateful. Because that's the basic good. What do you think, David?
Well, once again, you've stimulated all kinds of thoughts for me.
I'm so glad to be stimulating you.
Well, I am glad to be stimulated. a healthy way. thinking again about responsibility and how, as you mentioned, I've come to learn I'm only responsible for myself. And I've made a lot of screw-ups over the years, and I too have been taken advantage of because of being too kind or too gullible. What I've had to pray for has been discernment, because I've learned that I can still be compassionate, but I need to take care of myself. I need to take care of those I love, and I need to stand up for them, and sometimes that does mean having a rougher edge. But it can be tempered with compassion. It's a fine line that we walk. Backing up a little bit, I was thinking about what you can do when you've made a mistake and you've hurt somebody else. Of course, it starts, as you said, by saying, I'm sorry. And sometimes the best thing that I can do is to just change my behavior. It's sometimes difficult to make amends to people you've hurt, and it does no good to vomit a litany of things that you've done to hurt somebody, because that can hurt them even more. I've learned that I need to focus on what other people have perceived that has been a hurt, or if I have somehow, I'm losing the thread here. Maybe you can help me out, Kat.
I think there's two ways of dealing with when you've hurt somebody else. So one way is to attack, and one way is to stand your ground and acknowledge.
Mm.
And when we go into attack, we are not acknowledging what we've done. It can flip, it can change. Like you can contact someone and say, look, I'm really sorry I've hurt you, or you can contact someone and say, hey, I'm calling you out. You've done wrong, and I would like you to stop that, please. The other person responds in attack towards you, and it can disintegrate into name-calling and what have you. No one's taking personal responsibility. It's gone into a child mode. You can call somebody out or have stuffed up yourself and take start talking. The other person will act like they're more mature and try and put you in your place, but do it from a place where they're almost taking on a parental role towards you. It becomes child parent. And in that place, nobody wins either, because it builds resentment. The best way is adult to adult. So you've stuffed up, or you call the other person out. You clearly state what happened. You clearly state the consequences. If you're the person who stuffs up, you apologize. If you're calling the other person out, you ask them not to do it again and ask for an apology. You don't dive into any conversation about blaming or anything. It's just, this is what happened. And look, we can learn this sort of stuff from corporate world. They do this sort of stuff a lot. Hey, mate, you stuffed up. This is what happened. Don't do it again, or these will be the consequences if you do it again. The other person goes, oh, shit, okay, sorry. Point taken. Thanks very much. And everybody moves on. It is one of the reasons that I prefer having male friends or mature female friends, because immature females and immature males tend to go into blame and attack, or go into child versus child or parent child. But mature people and tend to not go into that. They tend to go to adult, and guys tend to walk away. They tend to shrug it off and walk away. Whereas for some reason, and I don't fully understand why, some women will not. They will hold on. I think that the emotional body has been hurt, and maybe they've got a build-up of hurts there, and it's added to it, and they can continue to have feelings and angry thoughts long after the incident has happened. So what we need to acknowledge is that, yeah, the emotional body has been jolted. Go deal with your feelings. Come back and be mature about it. Nobody's saying you shouldn't have feelings. Mm-hmm. Nobody's saying you haven't been hurt. But you're responsible for it. So go have a cry if you need to. Nobody's saying that's bad. Just take yourself out of the situation. Excuse yourself if you have to go to the loo. Go have a cry. If it triggers a trauma within yourself, go home. Get out of there. I'm sick. I've got to go. Don't become a blubbering mess and create a scene. Don't become an idiot who pulls out a gun or a knife. You're just going to make a massive mess. Emotions, when they become come into play, they can cause drama, and drama leads to karma, and then you've got to deal with the consequences.
Mm.
And that ain't fun. You know, like a few months ago or last year, some idiot got in his car and drove into a crowded street in Melbourne and killed some people, little baby in a pram and his mum and a few other people. Why? Because he had some emotional issues. You know, that's not the way to deal with it. That's a mess. You've now created a mess. Don't do that. If you have emotional reaction to someone calling you out, go deal with your emotions. That's why there's trained psychologists. Go speak to somebody. We are aware of the different styles of communication, so we need to understand that, because we can go into child to child, which is where it's just a yelling match and nobody resolves anything, or child to parent, where one person thinks that they've got the power over the other and that they can hurt them and use it as a way to manipulate and control or cause problems. Or we can go into adult to adult, deal with it and move on. And that's where your soul is going to grow. What do you think, David? You're a trained social worker. You would know that scenario, wouldn't you?
Yes, and training is one thing, knowledge is one thing, behavior is another. Just to let you know, Kat, we do have a caller, and today caller, Erica.
Oh, wonderful.
Zero. We're talking about taking personal responsibility and owning up to one's failures, and we're talking about gratitude. And backing up to what you were just talking about, it reminded me of an important lesson that I learned, and that is to act rather than react. When I react to something, it can start a nuclear holocaust. And I may consider myself to be innocent, but then I can become a victim depending on what I share with another person. And I think oftentimes it's best if I have a particular feeling that could charge the situation to, as you say, leave, and if necessary, talk to somebody else about the feeling. And if it still is important to you, then when you have taken time out, when I've taken time out to analyze the situation a little bit, I can go back to the other person and say, here is what's going on for me. Can you help me out with this? And I'm more likely to have a successful interaction with that person than I am if I'm going to say, I'm mad at you because you did this, that, and the other thing. Backing up, Kat, you were talking about angels and living in the light.
Mm.
And I was thinking to myself that we're all angels or saints in training, but as humans, we have a choice between darkness and light, and we need to experience both in order for us to move on and make the best possible choice for ourselves, which I believe is following the light. And in order to do that, I've had to get honest with myself about those aspects of myself that have not been positive. And when I do that, it's also important for me not to beat myself up, but to recognize that I also have the flip side of those negatives, or at least the potential, and that I can claim them. I mean, just as to give an example, I have experienced some arrogance in my past, and that comes from insecurity. But the flip side of that is that I'm a gentle soul, I'm compassionate, I'm humble. And it's taken a lot of practice to flip that and to move into that compassionate, humble state of mind and behavior. So I just wanted to put that in there. We can go to the caller to see if there's anything they'd like to share on the subject, and if you don't, that's fine. You can continue to listen.
Yeah, let's speak to the person who's ringing in, please.
Okay, absolutely. I'm coming to you, area code 210. Hi, what is your first name, please?
This is Pearl from Texas.
Hi, I didn't catch your first name. Is it Carol?
Pearl.
I'm still having problems. Can you make it out, Kat?
Pearl, P-E-A-R-L.
Oh, Pearl. Okay, Pearl.
Thank you, Pearl. How are you going?
That's a beautiful name.
Thank you. Can you
Pearl,
hear me
is there
okay?
Anything you'd like to say about gratitude or about taking responsibility for your life?
Well, I'll think about that one a second. But regarding your topic, I was just at this point where I was having these thoughts last night and had to manage a situation where you accept responsibility and sometimes you can't see it. It doesn't mean that. I have a daughter now that's 30 years old and recently married, and I'm just trying to figure out how to. She sees herself more and more as an adult, and sometimes I see her more at the same level that she was throughout her life, but I see her evolving. I mean, I need a little advice on how to work with her and manage her, because when I talk to her, it's all my fault. So,
Go ahead.
No, I'm just kind of perplexed on the last conversation I had with my daughter, wondering, how can I manage this better?
Well, Kat is a mother of four, and she's also a life coach, so I'm going to turn that one over to her.
So what you're saying, Pearl, is when you talk to your daughter, you feel like she's saying everything is your fault. Is that correct?
Well, I think she's thinking that I'm saying that, but based on the criticisms, I think that she's saying that to me. I don't know. My hunch is that she believes that she's very mature. However, she really won't mature until she gets her first child. So I'm kind of wondering if this is just a temporary thing to where it's because it's a disparity, because, you know, I'm obviously a mature adult, and she's growing into her life now, being recently married with a family. I'm wondering if it's just as time rolls by, these things will just smooth out.
Yeah, it's one of the best bits of advice that I was given years ago was to treat your teenage and young adult children as if they're somebody else's child, even if they're living in your home. The reason being is you're giving them, when you do that, you're giving them a little bit of that distant courtesy that you would give a guest in your home. You're not so intimately close with somebody else's child who is staying with you, even if it's your brother or sister's child. You don't have the intimacy that you do have with your own child. So that's the first thing, is that you you treat them as if they're somebody else's child. So you give them that little bit of a distance. Not saying you're being emotionally distant to her, but then I would also fashion a meal time when it's just you and her, or a cup of tea or something, and have a frank conversation, because she is 30. If she's got her own family now too, then she's gone through a maturation process and an acknowledgement of that maturation on your behalf would boost her feeling of how you see her. I would also offer the idea that you could beforehand think about all of her achievements and accomplishments, recent and past, and keep them in your mind. And when you approach her, talk about them. So it's a sandwich effect. So we talk about something good, then we talk about what is not so good, and then we finish it with something good as well. So we're not glossing over, we're sandwiching it. So we're allowing them to see the not so good, but we're also letting them know that we think that they're great as well, because there's obviously a lot of love between you and your daughter, and that's what you need to foster. And if it, you don't know the deepest thoughts in her mind, maybe you understand her circumstances, you wanted to move out, maybe there's a way that you can work with her, that the two of you can hatch a plan, because I'm sure she wants her own space too. So
she lives in another state now with her new husband.
Oh, I thought you said she lived with you.
No, I have one of those.
I apologize. Yeah. So, you know, we're all in this together, and it's a journey, and there's no handbook when you become a parent. And when you become a parent, you've got your parents in your head, and as default, you've got your grandparents in your head because they raised your parents. And then as a default, you've got your great-grandparents in your head because your great-grandparents raised your grandparents, who then raised your parents, who then raised you, and then you've got to go and raise a kid. And if you've got issues that go down the ancestral line, subconsciously they're still affecting you. And you may have turned around. My parents both were beaten by their mothers, so they made a decision before they had kids that they wouldn't hit us. And I copped a spanking here and there, but I most likely deserved them. But they didn't beat us up when we were kids. We never got beat up. And that was a conscious decision by my parents that they were not going to raise their kids that way, and that broke that ancestral line. Because, I mean, a lot of people beat their kids up as part of the raising of kids. It's just like not what you did. But my parents, they broke that line. So there are things there that you need to say to yourself, well, why is she upset with me? Is it actually something that I subconsciously brought through my ancestral line that needs to heal? Is it something that I did that I stuffed up and needs to heal? Is it the consequences of somebody else's decisions that I had to live with that caused me to feel and act in a certain way, and as a result, this is how it affected her, and that needs to heal? So, you know, there's a few different things to look at there. But in the end, sandwich it. Talk about what you think is great about her. And then bring up the issue and sandwich it again with what you think is wonderful about her. But have an adult-to-adult conversation, because she's 30 and she's got a family and she deserves that respect.
Okay,
what do you think, Pearl?
I think the way that I think that what she has a tendency to rewrite certain situations because it didn't really happen the way that she thinks that they happen, but that's okay. That's her memory. But I think that she's, when you tap into her, Kat, do you think that she's a grudge holder?
Oh, sorry, I didn't realize you wanted me to do anything psychic because it's not a psychic show. I think that your daughter needs to heal, and you need to heal, and when you go into a pathway of self-love and healing, and you encourage that in her, you can grow. And look, if she's saying to herself, this is the way it happened, and you can see it happen in a different way. At some point, you need to say, am I going to be right or happy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And, she'll wake up. Because, remember, she's got the eyes of a child in those memories, and you've got the eyes of an adult in those memories. So, and everybody's reality is unique to them.
Okay, she was saying, she made a comment recently that...
Some things I'd just drop it.
She made a comment recently that...
Sorry, go on.
When she was... Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, she made a comment recently that we haven't gotten along since she was 15. And my comment to that was, what mother doesn't have a challenging relationship with their 15-year-old daughter? Life's changing, their body's changing, environment's changing, they're trying out, you know, mature decisions, and they're fumbling and making, you know, mature decisions on with a child's mindset. I said, how can you compare a 30-year-old to a 15-year-old? I think that there's some growth that needs to be happen. That's why I think that... there's some growth that needs to happen. Still not there yet. And I'm thinking that once she gets her first child, then maybe those things will broaden and expand. And she'll be able to see a little more from my point of view.
Well, you're right there in that we don't understand our parents fully until we become parents. But, again, if she says something like that to you again, you can turn around and just acknowledge it, but come from a place of high unconditional love. So you would say, yes, that's right. But that was then and this is now. And look how wonderful you are. I see you. Look how beautiful you are. And put it on her about how you really have enjoyed watching her grow up. And bring it, change it. Because we can go into tit for tat, and even what you're saying, well, yes, you know, you were a child then, how can you compare that to an adult? That's what's happening. It sounds to me like her inner child is still hurting over something. And I'd say how wonderful and beautiful she is, as you said, but then I would also say there's something within you that's hurting. I would love to help you heal that. How can I help? And you might get a little dark creature come out of her. Wear it because you're mature. Deal with that. And then you could either say, when you're finished feeling that way, come and speak to me. I'll always be here. I love you. Or she could release that inner anger and become spent and then be able to heal all in the same conversation. It just depends on what's going on. It sounds like you're ready to heal, and it sounds like she quite possibly could be too.
It sounds that way to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
It really does.
You know, because underneath it all is love. Underneath it all is love.
Yes.
That's true.
We both know the foundation. The foundation is there. I just see miscommunications in the way that she sees things and the way that I see things. There's just this obscurity that I just don't understand at times. So thank you so much. And
well, it's true that we all see things through our own eyes. We all have our same perceptions, and likewise, we don't see everything about ourselves that somebody else might see. And so, you know, it's just a matter of trying to be as detached and objective as possible, and as Kat said, to come at it with love, unconditional love, because so many of us did not experience that as kids. And I'm not saying that was the case for you or your daughter, but there's so many people that have been craving unconditional love, and it's always been metered out because of somebody's accomplishments or behavior and that sort of thing. And when we can just say, you're wonderful just the way you are, and what can I do to help the situation, then there's going to be less room for reactivity.
Okay.
I don't know. What do you think, Kat?
No, I agree with you. I think that a mother-daughter relationship is a beautiful thing, and the risk as the mother is that you can continue to treat that kid like they're 8 when they're an adult, and you can not let your child, your daughter, see you as your friends would see you. But when you get to a point where your child is an adult, let them in. Let them in. Let them see you as your friends would see you. You still have the mother-daughter relationship. That's not going to change. You're the mother. But let them in. You don't have to be the authority figure anymore. Now you're the guide. It's different. The authority figure, that finished when they finished high school. You became the guide. And so you just become the matriarch and the guide. And you let them in. And you go have fun. And have some fun. Tell some bad jokes. Get drunk. Have some fun.
What do you think, Pearl?
Well, we have a tendency to have fun naturally. It's just that these things in
That's
the past
true.
Just keep bubbling up all the time, because I don't think that she's reached the point of forgiveness. That's why I was wondering whether she was a grudge holder or not. So, but I think Phil's advice is
not
very
necessarily
good to kind of sandwich it.
Yeah. And in the end, you know, she's going to take personal responsibility for that issue. But if she keeps needing to bring it up, then she needs something from you, and that's acknowledgement. So you acknowledge the issue, and you say, this is, once she tells you the issue, then repeat it back to her, paraphrase it back. So just as I did in the beginning of our conversation, you said that you had an issue with your daughter. I paraphrased back to you so you knew I understood you. And I also then knew I had it in my head correctly what you'd said. And then you go from there. And that's the best way to go.
We are coming up on the close.
You can end up with a great conversation.
I'm sorry, Kat.
Okay.
We are coming up
on
the close of the hour, but Pearl, I wanted to let you know we're on every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and we would love to have you join us again. It is a topic discussion, and you're welcome to bring a topic to the circle if you just want to call in a few minutes ahead of 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I could ask you what topic you would like to have covered during the evening, and then we could all reflect on that. And we end the hour with a meditation. And Kat, I don't know if you need to go now and want me to do it. I know you have another obligation.
I don't think we've got any time to do it.
Okay, well, then I'll do it. well, Kat, thank you for joining us tonight, and best wishes for you with your day ahead. Kat's in Australia, Pearl. So, Kat, thank you for joining us, always, and I'll look
thank
forward
for
to next week.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay, I would like everybody to just close your eyes and breathe deeply. Count in your inhalation to the count of four. Hold, and then exhale through your mouth to the count of four. Returning to the inhale through your nose and out of your mouth, if you can do that two more times. Now imagine yourself walking along a wooded path. You're not sure where you're going, you're just on an adventure. And you follow the path, and you start to see the sunlight coming down through the leaves and the trees, and it gets brighter and brighter, and you hear the sound of flowing water, and you realize that you've come upon a little lazy river. And you breathe in the fresh air, and you look out over the water with the sparkling rays, with the rays of the sun sparkling off the water as it flows gently toward the sea. And you see a little boat sitting on the edge of the water, and it appears as if it's waiting just for you. You look around wondering, do I dare? And then you decide, yes, indeed, this boat is intended for me. And you go and you push the boat to the edge of the water, and you climb in, and you begin to row along the river, out into the river, and down the river. And you decide that you're going to take a rest, and you put down the oars of the boat, and you recline on the front of the boat, and you look up at the puffy clouds, see them with whatever shapes you can envision, and you hear the sound of birds from the woods, and you realize all is well. All is well. Whatever troubles you've brought through the woods, to the forest, to the edge of the water, and onto the river, are melting away, just like icicles in the springtime. Drop by drop, you're letting go of whatever has hardened you today as you begin to soften and gently melt and flow along the lazy river. And eventually your boat reaches the other shore, and you get out of the boat and pull it up onto the shore. You hear the bird song again, and you're ready to continue your adventure. And you realize to yourself that all of your troubles have melted away and that all is well. And so now I invite you to breathe again deeply and take three long breaths. And when you're ready, open your eyes and know all is well. Thanks for joining us, Pearl.
Thank you.
Okay, please tune in again any Sunday you want, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And Kat, if you're still there, thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Good night, all. God bless.